Roselli Northern supports upstate New York construction with over 400 employees, 250 trucks, 9 ready-mix plants, 4 blacktop plants, and 40 aggregate mines. But their most important number is your bottom line. Contact them today to see why Roselli Northern has been the choice for contractors and project managers across upstate New York since 1929.
Everybody, happy Wednesday. Welcome in to Fresh Takes with Russo and Felice. Paul Russo, Nick Felice here with you as always. Going to be another fun episode here. Play-ins and playoffs, got that. Personally, I want to touch on the Syracuse Spring game this weekend. We'll touch on that. You're off to Pittsburgh this weekend, Nick, so a nice little weekend of activities awaiting us both, but how you doing? How's the week been? You are now officially
29.
Sub 365 days till the age year of 30, aka another 29th birthday next year for you. Yep. How you feeling?
Well, I just celebrated my last April 15th as a 20-year-old yesterday. Today is my last April 16th. Wait, it's the 17th. The day's flying. Yeah. Or the week's flying, I mean. Oh, so yeah. I missed April 16th. I don't remember it.
R.I.P.
yeah, so if people don't know, it's also my mom's birthday on Sunday. And her two favorite athletes are Tiger Woods and Andrew McCutcheon. Mm. In 2019, Tiger Woods won the Masters on our birthday. And how about Andrew McCutcheon's 300th career home run on our birthday on Sunday as well?
Is it bad? I was selfishly hoping, since you will be in Pittsburgh, I was like, can he just continue the cold streak home run-wise this year?
That would have been cool.
Saturday, but
especially I saw
didn't quite get there.
One of his few home runs last year is one of the game we went, so it was cool. Good to see your brother. I haven't seen him in a while. Seems like he likes the city. The Roberto Clemente Bridge is finally open.
Thank God.
So it'll be the first
Thank
time.
God.
Have you? You've gone on it, right? Yeah, we went watched the
fireworks. Yeah, so I self-angered myself not going at all last year. I really wanted to, and this kind of...
We watched the fireworks on the
bridge. Yeah, through the shuffle of it all, I couldn't get down last year, which was the last year of the 2 years that it was closed. But when I went down in 22, it was the first year of it being closed, and nothing against the Warhol Bridge, but just something a little bit better about walking over the Clemente Bridge or walking back across the Clemente Bridge after the fact. But, yeah, we did watch the second half of that fireworks show from the Clemente Bridge. So, yeah, good to hear that's officially back open. Shouldn't have to deal with any flooding issues either this time around. So,
it's a good city.
Yeah, I'm a big Pittsburgh guy. I'm pro-Pittsburgh. I don't know. It's so weird because, like, I'm pro-Cleveland, too. And something about the Rust Belt cities I prefer way more than, like, I guess New York City, Boston even.
And they're both not that far.
No. I mean, they're both pretty easy drives. I mean, in the grand scheme of it, I mean, Cleveland's, I mean, I guess they're both really technically 4.5, 5 hour, depending upon what type of traffic you hit and stuff like that.
There's a lot of Major League Baseball stadiums that are about that distance from where we live.
Yeah, I mean, here, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Toronto's in that range as well. They're in the 4.5 range.
New York and Boston.
Boston, well, they both are. Boston's closer to that 5.5 range, 5, 5.5.
Toronto's the closest, obviously.
Yeah.
Not that, I mean, it's not that much closer.
No. But either way. Yeah, I mean, let's kind of get, I guess, kind of jump head first into this a little bit here. Basketball, the NBA kind of take it, obviously, the main headlines here, obviously. Before we get to the play-in and play-off, though, be remiss if we didn't probably talk a little bit about the major breaking news of the day. Zion Williamson pulling – no, I'm just kidding. He is out, though, apparently for Friday. But that's more for our play-in stuff. Jontae Porter banned for life because of betting and providing insider information to bookies. I was really hoping we'd get another Adam Silver for life meme out of this, but we won't. It was just a statement. But, yeah, I mean, we haven't talked a ton about it on here, and that's just because I guess a lot of our gambling talk we just kind of backload and save for football, and we talk a lot about it there. Probably because it's just easier for the overall lexicon, but this might be the key catalyst, really, in a bunch of different scenarios that, I mean, Ohio's banning player props, at least at the collegiate level, and I think at the pro level, too, actually, at some point this summer. I can't remember exactly when. My understanding is we probably will be seeing player props as a whole because of this issue, scandal, and subsequent out banning. Probably more than likely seeing them go away altogether in some way, shape, or form. I don't want to say, like, I'm surprised it took this long to have somebody, I guess, fall into this issue, to put it politely or politically correct anyway. But we've seen a bunch of different, like, NFL players be suspended for bending at facility. I mean, Calvin Ridley, for example, right? But this is basketball's first really true taste of it. And part of this, to me, is just when you get in bed with these sports books for marketing and partnerships and sponsorship deals, I can't say I'm surprised in a way. It sucks, nonetheless, all things considered, because you'd hope these guys have enough common sense to, but you just don't know where everybody stands and where everybody kind of is when it comes to this deal. And I'm being honest with you, you know, I had no idea. One, he's Michael Porter's brother. I remember he had a brother, but like, I didn't know who he was. And two, like, I didn't even know who the guy was until this thing came about. So, it's one of those things where I don't want to make it sound like, oh, good thing it wasn't like LeBron James. I think the NBA might be getting away with this in a way that it wasn't even like a Trey Murphy type player, right? Or like a Keegan Murray type player, where it's like you're probably like second or third tier type player, even where it gets much more bigger legs and it's not some
G-leaguer.
Fourth or fifth league, yeah, fifth layer type player in this deal where, I mean, like I said, if it was one of those guys, even this conversation would be much, much louder, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think he's just, if it's a LeBron James or like a Damian Lillard or someone like
right.
that, or, yeah, just a big name, and he doesn't do this. I think he's using this guy as like, okay, do not do this.
Well,
you're going to be
suspended. That's the thing. That's the thing, right? The first guy usually is always some type of scapegoat in, yeah. in some, or the made the example.
But
of,
he also set right. the bar high, because if the next person does this and it is a decent name, doesn't get suspended for life, this guy's gonna be pissed. Why was I suspended for life?
Yeah, that's
when
fair.
These guys had a punishment, they saw a punishment in front of them, and they still went on and did it. It's just, he set the bar high, banned for life. That's not good. I mean, it should. I mean, come on. You're a professional athlete. Do not bet. Do not sports bet at all. It's not that hard.
Yeah, I mean, I hate phrasing it like that, right? But it's like how just, it's not even so much being smart or dumb. Like, this is the lack of awareness on it, yeah. right? It's just like, I think that's where it gets me, right? And like I said, like, I think no matter what, it has to be banned for. I mean, that's the way the rule is. I mean, Pete Rose was banned for life, you know.
NFL players aren't getting right. banned for life,
and but that's because in the agreement there was room for ambiguity, right? And I think in these other sports there's not that room. You can't get away with it.
And then there's Shohei Ohtani. It might right. not even be your fault, and you get dragged into this conversation.
I know it's a different topic. I still can't.
You think it was Shohei?
I don't think it was necessarily Shohei.
You're not seeing how he doesn't know $16 million getting out of his
correct. Account. Like, and I understand the translators and these guys for these players have, I know the a lot of them get the full control, but I just have a hard, how do you just not know to some little degree? That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's another thing. And they're also going to, I know.
And that's why I go back to, like, how do you just not have, like, the awareness on it? You know what I mean? Like, the self-awareness that, like, something's up here, right?
And there's a huge difference from Shohei Ohtani to whatever that guy's name yeah. is, Porter.
Yeah, Yimi.
Shohei brings in so much more money. They're just, it's, you really have to be completely obvious about yeah. it to get this life ban. This poor Porter guy, not poor, I mean, don't sports bet, but he just easy. Yeah, ban him for life. Who cares? You know, he was never going to make a career anyway. It's just, one, I don't know how athletes even do that. You're a professional athlete. Don't sports bet. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine you could sports bet once your career's over, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean,
yeah, so just wait till
look at all. Look at all these retired guys who have deals even with these sports books.
Yeah, just wait till your career's over, or just don't do it at all. I mean, it's just, but gambling, that's an addiction, though. You know, some people, I'm not a gambling addict, but it's a real thing. So.
Nick, you are on the couch. We can have a discussion.
I mean, that's a real thing. So, I mean, I don't know if this Porter guy's an addict or he just one time, a couple times, and he got caught.
It was more than a couple times.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't know how much he spent a lot.
They're talking much more. They're talking multiple, like multiple.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation. It's just easy decision when it's a guy. It's fifth right. tier, like you said. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? It does make you wonder if it was somebody of more recognition, like what the reaction would be.
They're just going to knock. Yeah. When did the story come out? A couple weeks ago, right?
A month or so.
Yeah, still. Yeah. A month? You think a month later, yep, we're just going to take out, I keep using Damian Lillard, we're just going to take out Damian Lillard because he just bet. It took a month decision. No, that's going to drag on, and they're going to be like, what do we do with
Damian? Or it'd be much quicker, I feel like, if they knew. Right.
Yeah. What do we do with Damian?
That too,
is Damian Lillard.
Well, no, but that too, in the timing of like they're doing it in between more or less the play-in games, right, of the West and the East Conference. It's always thought out. Is I think what I'm getting at.
Exciting end of the regular season, though. I thought that.
Well, let's jump into it, right? The play-in and stuff like that, and kind of previewing the playoffs here a little bit. Yeah, for the most part, much to do. A little bit on both sides here, whether it was the exact seeding, like it was in the West, where, 1 through 10 was locked in. It was just a matter of where everybody was kind of going to finish out. Or on the East side, where it pretty much did come down on that final day. I guess really third to last day, I suppose, for really the lack of better terms there. And still, though, the seeding there was kind of to be determined and stuff like that. Your Knicks. Second seed in the East. How about it? Round of applause for them. It's pretty interesting, this NBA season as a whole, kind of maybe doing a quick look back before we jump in. I don't want to say it's what the league kind of needed, but we finally, I think, are seeing that turnover a little bit of the old guard to the new guard. And this is something that I kind of want to talk about a little bit anyway here because we're already through the Western Conference play-ins. Or the first portion of it, I guess, technically, anyway, where, you know, we look at the top of the West, and yeah, you know, Denver's there, but, like, there's, like, still that weird, like, what I call coastal bias compared to them. But you have OKC, right? One of the youngest teams ever to be where they are at. You look at the East, sure, Boston's number one seed. And we'll get into more on them anyway, but the younger superstars leading them, right? The Knicks, led by a lot of young, maybe not quite superstars as much as, say, Boston or whatever, but certainly you got one superstar leading the charge there in Brunson, you know? I think it's pretty telling that those teams are at the top, and you have, and it's more so out West where this is apparent, right? But you have, obviously, the Lakers, your LeBrons, and Golden State's with Curry kind of on the way out of sorts. And the regular season showed it, and I thought it was pretty interesting because, like, we always talk about at this time of year especially, right, like the differential between networks and stuff like that. I feel like if you really wanted to get the true scope of where everything was at kind of this year, TNT was probably the place for it. Compared to ESPN, where there was a lot of still LeBron and Steph Curry talk for whatever reason. Yeah. But, I thought, you know, the regular season and the final few days were maybe a little bit what the NBA needed.
Have they always done that? Everybody plays on the final day?
I think it's relatively new. I mean, they did it They did it last year, I remember. But it's still relatively new in the grand scheme of it. So, And you're playing everybody at least in conference as
Can
well.
Can we just say they copied MLB?
Well, the MLB's always kind of been like that. That's just because of, you know.
Everybody plays every day anyway.
The NFL's that way too, so either way. Yeah, but I thought it's what the NBA kind of needed. I mean, there's a lot of what I would call, I wouldn't say they're losing momentum, right? But, you know, throughout the year, you know, NFL's taking Christmas Day, for example, right? That used to be just the NBA's day. There was a lot more discussion about the All-Star game, again, in a negative light instead of a positive light. I think this final kind of month run here where stuff was kind of up for grabs, kind of what the NBA really needed.
Yeah. I liked how they everyone played on the last day, especially the last two slate of games. Mm-hmm. They didn't play Saturday, but they played Friday, and they played Sunday. Is it a curse in disguise about the Knicks 2 seed? Because they get the winner of Philadelphia and Miami, one being Philadelphia, when healthy, is probably a top 4 team in the Eastern Conference.
Are they?
And then Miami, of course, is Miami. They are noted for your Heat are noted for getting out of the East and falling short on the championship since LeBron era. But maybe this is the year.
Yeah, we're somehow still the most consistent team, it seems like.
But it's just, does it bother you that they get a 7-8 seed all the time and playing this plan?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's not ideal to be playing more games than you have to, right? It's interesting. I think we can maybe jump in a little bit more here off of that platform because you brought up the Sixers. And this is where I get you're probably – I feel like you're nervous for your Knicks to some degree. Is that the vibe I'm correctly getting off of you?
My one team.
Just one team makes you nervous? Who?
Out of those two teams?
Well, no. I'm just saying, like, when I said, for example, right – like, your Knicks are the 2 seed. Like, I don't know how this is. Like, are you actually, like, nervous, like, in a way?
If they play the Heat, yes.
Really? Okay.
Because yes. They match up with the Sixers. We've crushed them with Embiid, without Embiid. If we get the Sixers, if they win tonight's game, we're gonna have a nice season.
So I'll interrupt there before continuing with the Heat portion of it then. I think the Knicks, at least in the top half of the bracket, we'll call it, meaning the 1 seed in Boston, 2 with New York, 3 with Milwaukee, 4 with Cleveland. I view the Knicks as being in the driver's seat of them.
Okay.
I really do.
I'm confident.
Personally speaking.
A little nervous
personally,
in Miami.
Personally speaking, I'm not frightened of Boston at all.
No.
Okay? Yeah. And it's a lot of the same talk I have for the 76ers, like, even when they're healthy, I don't view them as a top 4 team. It's the same. They've done the same thing for years now. Like, and that's the thing with, like, Boston where it's just like, I'm not, like, we're going to ride them. And I'm being honest with you, Milwaukee, even with Giannis, has been a train wreck since the Griffin firing, to put it bluntly.
And then they just lost Blake Griffin.
Griffin was a free agent anyway, so.
But he had a great career. He got a shot at him.
Oh, before he got hurt, I mean,
he was great prospect.
I mean, I don't think it sucks because, like, there is that generation under us who saw Blake Griffin play with, like, predominantly, like, Detroit. They just don't understand what he was. Like, and that part sucks, but what are you going to do?
Anyway. Yeah, I get that. I had him mixed up. He played for the Celtics, not the Bucks.
Right, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, shout him out.
So, but, like, the Bucks don't do anything for me. And I don't want to say, like, I don't even think Cleveland necessarily is, like, actually the 4 seed in the way I'm viewing them. It's that they didn't do anything really all – like, Max Strus, like, has been, like, the only, like, piece that they brought in, obviously. And it's kind of funny, like, he's been the only person out of the Heat cycle, as I call it, who has, like, got on and done well, at least in year one with their new team. Anyway, like, if I had to put those top four, if I were to reseed and do, like, a power ranking of sort, I'd go New York 1 because...
Well, you're high on them.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. And I look, they're going to be without Randle, but they've been without Randle for a while now. And it sounds weird, and we've had a discussion before, and this is where people think, like, and you know this, I'm not necessarily a Julius Randle hater, but, like, the Knicks just look better without him on the floor. Like they visually have been playing better without him this more or less second half of the season. And, like, even without him, like, I view them as the best team right now in the East. Like, I get where you're nervous, probably, and I would maybe be too. Like, if the Heat...
They look better without Randle or look better with OG?
Ooh, that's a... Now, that's the interesting hypothesis.
When OG doesn't play, they don't play that great.
That's a good point. It's a good hypothesis, actually.
OG has been an unbelievable addition.
Because we have been, we've talked about a ton here, and I know we're getting a bit off like what we're initially doing, but this is what I kind of like about how I'm trying to structure the podcast at the moment, where it's like we kind of veer a little bit. That's an interesting, though, hypothesis, right? Is like, because we've talked about it on here even, where it's like, what if they got a different big to kind of do what Randle does, where it's like they don't need the ball necessarily in their hand to do it? Like... No, that's a good one. That's a good point.
I mean, I'm confident about my Knicks. I'm just saying Miami scares me way more than Philly does.
So my main thing with Miami this year is, so I know Terry Rozier is out tonight.
He is.
And the big issue for them has been all years. Kind of the same one that I don't necessarily think has plagued them necessarily the first, I guess really since 2020. Like when they let Dragic walk in free agency, which, I mean, smart move, but like it's not a knock on Kyle Lowry, but like Lowry had like a 1 year peak really, and you could tell like the steps were gone and getting lost. I still really want them to get another big down there with Bam, like an actual big. Now Jovic has filled in nicely. Like Jovic is gonna be a fun player, right? But I don't know. To me, it's going to be tough because, like, now the starting five is looking Hero, Butler. I don't know how he's going to play this one against Philly. I'm going to lean he probably would start Caleb Martin and then do Jovic and Bam. But I wouldn't be surprised if he did Hero, Butler, Hakez, Jovic, Bam. I think it just kind of depends. Would you rather have more offense or more defense initially at the jump of this thing? But either way, I just view it as like, I'm assuming hypothetically here that so the Heat win tonight and they face the Knicks. I'm assuming Jimmy would guard Brunson and Bam will just have to take Hartenstein. And after that, it gets weird pretty fast on defense for the Heat, no matter what. At that point, I would assume Hakez probably goes DiVincenzo just because of the size matches up better. And I mean,
OG and Hart.
I mean, Jovic would have to just do OG and Hero goes, well, depends. If Terry's back officially, I mean, that kind of makes it a lot more easier. Terry can just take Josh Hart then, and it's not a question. But, like, Tyler Hero on Josh Hart frightens me. So, I don't know, but you have to worry about that, you know, at a podcast next week for us anyway, potentially.
Got
to
win that game tonight.
Yeah. And then, you know, I was a bit of a skeptic on the play, and maybe I still am in the grand scheme of it, but, like, we aren't seeing you talking about stuff like this if not for that, right? Like,
oh yeah.
So I don't know.
Whenever you can limit playoff spots in the regular season, it makes it more exciting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think the interesting part too is I think I view it a little bit differently now too, post maybe the bubble tournament in a sense, but the NBA, for as much chalk as it usually runs, like there's still an element of like getting hot at the right time. Like the Heat last year were like the perfect example of it. Like they just kind of took over and rode that momentum, and like I think that's where a lot of people think they can do it again this year. Like I definitely think they could do it again, but like I don't think it's realistic. Like if we're sitting here obviously in pretty much a month right now talking about the conference finals, like I'm leaning at it more than likely being probably New York. See, the East just feels chalky to me this year. It really does. Like, I'm leaning probably New York, Boston in the finals, but like,
Boston's got an easy path.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like the East feels way more chalky than the West. The West, even though the East is catching back up to the West is still much more talented where I view it. There's a lot more toss-up element to it. Like,
I mean, Clippers, Mavericks, first round.
I mean, man, like, yeah.
Timberwolves,
like,
Suns.
Right, and, well, man, that the latter of that matchup, I chuckle at because neither one of those teams are going to do anything, right? Like, but
Kings is an 8 seed.
I can view it as like, okay, I can definitely buy whatever you're putting down for the Thunder. I can buy whatever you're putting down for the Nuggets. I can buy whatever you're putting down for the Clippers. Bring up an interesting one if they win even. Like, I could buy like the Kings making a run. Like, feasibly I can buy the Kings making a run. I guess it's hard to even do this, even though I was just dunking on them a little bit. Like, I can, you know, you could probably sell me on a Laker run of sort too. Like, Dallas, you could probably sell me on them making a run. Really, the only two in the West I just can't necessarily buy would probably be New Orleans, which is unfortunate. But, Zion out Friday, I think, kind of tanks what they're going to be able to do.
They are home.
You know.
But,
you know. Yeah, but, like, Zion played 67 games this year or something like that.
A career high?
Yes, actually, but it was a lot more than I thought, to be honest, that he played.
Yeah.
But like,
he was eligible for the MVP.
I guess so, technically, because he didn't fit the criteria anyway for the NBA superstar thing. So, but it sucks. I don't think I could buy whatever you're selling on them, and I can't buy whatever you're selling on Phoenix or Minnesota. Those are the only three teams I think I'm out on. Whereas with the East, I'm out on Philly. I'm out on Milwaukee. I'm out on Indiana. I'd be out on Orlando. I'd be out on Atlanta. I'd be out on Orlando. It's just one of those things where the East just seems chalky at this point. Not that there's anything wrong with it, right? I think if we were to sit here in a month and you were to tell me that one half of the conference final, being the Eastern Conference, was two of your biggest markets, the NBA is probably pretty thrilled with that anyway. And now a knock on the West, but especially at that point, if it's something like, say it is Sacramento and Minnesota or something like that, right? Like, where it's like Sacramento is a basketball town, but it's not your biggest market, and Minnesota certainly is not your biggest market. So
Sacramento, Minnesota would be nuts.
I mean, it would be the sicko version of what we all hope for.
We grew up when Minnesota, Sacramento, just absolutely dreadful.
Kinda, yeah.
And these nuts if they could be the Western Conference final. That's a stretch.
I mean, we when they were both at least like good, we were both like second, third graders, where it's like kind of your more formative memories of a team, right? Like I do remember watching Bibby and Stojakovic and Weber and Divac with the Kings. I do remember Garnett and Zerbiak and Cassell and Sprewell with Minnesota. But those were very overall small windows.
That's cool that you remember that. You're also 7 years old.
Well, it's about 7, 8, 9 in that range, right? Like, you know, you can remember stuff.
That's right. You're older. You're older.
The breaks. We're the same age right now. So, yeah. But anyway, the NBA. It's one of those things. Like I said, for me, I just view it as, I guess, maybe chalk in the East and a little bit more of a wild card scenario in the West.
I agree. I think the team to watch out for, as much as I don't care for Indiana, I think they'd be interesting to see because a lot of people picking them as the upset against the Bucks in the first round. The Cavs a little bit, you know. They not officially, but kind of tanked on Sunday to get that 4 seed to play Orlando. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if that's true or not. Orlando's got to be a little bit of lit fire under them for a team to do that.
Indiana, to me, if we were to talk pre-trade deadline, I'd be all in on Indiana. It's weird that I'm saying it like this, but wait, they seem worse off without Buddy Hield.
Yeah.
Like, they were, what, the second seed before the trade? And they end up, I mean, they were on the cusp of being in the play-in. So, I don't know about them. I mean, I guess I could if you were you. I guess there would be a slight case for them, I think, where I would buy in, but I just can't. I don't think I personally can.
You finally buying in on the Clippers?
Part of me kind of is. I think. I think it's hard not to, just given the fact of, like, this could be it with what they got. So, why not? It's weird. They kind of flew. They weirdly flew under the radar in the grand scheme of things here. They really did. So,
I don't know how that happens. You haven't heard much about James Harden since he got traded.
Yeah, just because he's happy.
yeah, I know. It's true. It's like Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like the Dallas thing in a way, too, maybe to a degree, even though I guess Luka and Kyrie are locked up at this point. But
I mean, unless you're the Lakers or Warriors, you just don't hear about these teams.
Yeah, anymore. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Well, like, I think that goes back to just who you're more listening to than not.
Yeah.
You know, the inside guys were all year the only ones really I heard mainstream-wise talking about how it's like, can we just stop talking about the Lakers and the Warriors? Like, they're both not good, like, in the grand scope of it. I don't know.
And Warriors just knocked out last night. They're done. It's over.
So who do you got, you think, in these play-ins at this point? We already know the West portion semi is locked in.
I know right a lot of networks here. not mention this game, but Atlanta-Chicago do play tonight.
That's the nightcap.
I have the Heat winning tonight, unfortunately, for my sake, because I think
for your psyche.
I'd rather have Philly. Sure. I want Philly to win, but sure. I think Miami will win. And I think Philly will beat we'll go Atlanta. Why not? Atlanta beat Chicago.
Atlanta, really? Oh man.
You know, Atlanta's 10 games under 500.
But like Chicago's just like such a mediocre team that like or maybe mediocre is probably maybe putting them a little bit on the nice end of it. Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to sound like a homer, but like, I am taking the Heat. I don't see what people see in Philly anymore. Like, you know what you're getting out of
games in Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
then also on Friday, I'll take Sacramento.
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking Sacramento too in the way. I think that's I don't want to say it's a foregone conclusion. You have to play the game, obviously, but yeah, I mean, if Zion was healthy, I might be leaning New Orleans, but just who are they? Valchunas will take Sabonis, obviously, but like after that, defensive matchups get really tough for them really quick. So, although I will say that Sacramento is without Malik Monk and Kevin Herter, so you know, I mean, who knows? I don't know, but yeah, I'm on there too. The nightcap of this game is tough for me. I'll take Chicago. Home court advantage, I think, kind of plays
they just in all played an overtime game against the Knicks, was it 3 days ago?
Yeah.
That was they're better than Atlanta.
Yeah.
As Kevin Malone says in The Office, Atlanta is always terrible.
And then I will take Philly, though, over Chicago on Friday for the East. If that's the way it ends up.
You'll take Philly over Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. I love the playing though.
Yeah,
I do like it. Why don't they call it the playoffs?
What you taking that matchup Friday though in the East for you?
Why is it not the playoffs?
I don't know. What are you taking though in the East for your matchup that you have being Atlanta and Philly, right? Yeah.
I got Philly.
Philly as well. Yeah. So, like we said, like I was saying, East kind of chalky in a way.
I think it will be. Even though I think Indiana and Orlando could win. That's technically isn't that technically the 5 and the 6. Oh,
the no hitter's over, by the way.
Yeah, it happens.
Break in for that.
even though they're technically the 5 and the 6, so that's technically 2 upsets
right.
that I have in my first round. But sure. That's the only upsets I have in the entire. Well, I guess they have the 10 over the 9 as well. But that's really the only upsets. Oh, I also have the 8 over the 7. So but that's really all
it's
the
not upset though at that point.
No, especially these teams aren't even separated by that many games. No. The Heat to the Knicks.
I mean, the Heat had a way to get into the regular playoff on the last day. So, I mean.
They could have been the 5 seed.
Correct. Yeah.
And they fell all the way to the 8 still.
Yeah.
But crazy playoff, crazy regular season. Yeah. Looking forward to playoffs. I love the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Fun 2 weeks.
Yeah. So let's get into another crazy playoff, the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs begin. as well later on this week. Final day of the regular season is today for the NHL.
Tomorrow. The game's Thursday.
There's their games tomorrow.
It's weird. My coworker Pete thought the season ended tonight too.
Because they've been hyping up today as the season finale all week.
Gotta be on ESPN.
Yeah, either way. But everything playoff-wise is actually locked in anyway for them, so it doesn't really matter. Nick, everything's coming up you. The New York Rangers, President's Cup champions, recipients, most points in the regular season in the NHL. The New York Rangers.
Isn't there a curse with that?
There is a curse. kind of a similar vibe, though. I mean, this Ranger run of sort the past three seasons has been pretty interesting, right? Two seasons ago, I wouldn't say they came out of nowhere, right? But they definitely overachieved, find themselves in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Last year, step back of sort, if you will, just youth being youth, as I call it. This year, though,
Var Gallant.
More than in the right direction for the Rangers. Find themselves atop the whole NHL going into the Stanley Cup playoff. They will have home ice as long as they're still alive. Gotta be a pretty good feeling to know that you have MSG in the old back pocket for you at all times, I'd say.
Yeah, how about New York, man? We're coming around.
It's 94 all over again.
The Yankees are doing well. I hate the Mets, especially this week. But
York Liberty.
maybe another day I'll like the Mets, but not right now. The Rangers, Knicks are coming around. No, good times.
The WNBA draft.
yeah. Shout out Caitlin Clark, overall.
The U.S. Open in August.
Yeah, yep. Always good times. But
Watkins Glen in September.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, September this year. But, what I love about the Stanley Cup playoffs, I don't care.
Wide open.
I don't care what your seeds are. It is just a tournament. Mm-hmm. There is no seeds. There's nothing. Yeah, you're the number one overall seed.
Well, I mean, there are seeds.
But anybody could beat anybody in this playoff, and that's what I love about it. But that's why it's hard to win. And, you could be feeling confident as well. Your Lightning a couple years ago, the Bruins last year, you can feel as confident as you want, but you have to come out and win four games in seven tries. And four different rounds, so they got a lot of scoring. They're very talented. They got arguably one of the best goaltenders in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Got a great coach.
Igor's had a nice bounce back year.
Yep, really they got a great backup as well.
Yeah,
in case they need him quick. They're looking good.
I think that was pretty.
East is tough though.
I think that was a bit of an underlying thing, and like we don't talk a ton of hockey on here because we just aren't experts enough on it. We both enjoy watching it, but. I'd be more versed in probably telling you how like a Twinkie's made than even how to really break down hockey in that sense. I think part of that though played a pretty big role that I don't think got talked about a ton, at least that I saw, was the fact that like the Rangers bring in a quality veteran and I guess person in Jonathan Quick as well, that's kind of be behind Igor. And I mean, look at the results this year. Quick had a nice little renaissance here. I mean, he's behind. He's obviously the backup, the second stringer in this situation.
Yeah, and he understands that. He knows
right. And but it paid off dividends for the Rangers this year. There's no other way around it. The East is interesting. I hockey's the one playoff where like if you're just hot the right time, you go. I mean, it literally we can go through the Rolodex of teams that have kind of done that, but. It's pretty interesting. I look at the West, right, and the interesting part to me is, like, I've been so high on Vegas all year, and they end up, I believe they're going to be, like, the de facto third seed. Could be wrong, but either way, it's one of those things where I view the West still as maybe having the edge there. I think Dallas came away with the number one for the West. Seattle's kind of depressing all year. I was really expecting them to be obviously in the playoff. They're not. I'm kind of with you. The East gives me a pretty good vibe this year. There's a lot of really intriguing matchups and maybe underlying stories in the first round. Like you mentioned the Lightning. The Lightning played the Panthers in the first round. Like that's become a big rivalry. Those two teams do not like each other. And the Lightning have been playing some better hockey lately, but, like, the Panthers have – and this is always the interesting part about the President's Cup to me because of just, like, the way it kind of breaks down. But, like, the Panthers have arguably have been that best team as well in the East all year. But they just don't obviously have the number to back it up, obviously, because they don't have the hardware to show for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where, like, hockey always fascinates me because, like I mentioned, you like, it's the definition of when that sport being hot at the right time. And, like, a team like Tampa, for example, you can't take lightly because, one, they're on the back end of their window. Two, they've been there before type deal, right? Whereas, like, the Rangers, like, you can't take lightly, for example, because their window's just opening, and they've never really been at that spot before, so, like, they don't know any better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then there's Florida, for example, who's like, they got a bunch of dudes who know what the hell they're doing. Their window's wide open, and they know it's their time to pounce, for example. Like, that's the beauty of it. It really is the beauty of it. You want to know what else is the beauty of it? Pittsburgh didn't make the playoffs.
Washington did.
I know, it's crazy. I got to give credit to the Caps because I wrote them off all year pretty much, well, going into the year more or less. I thought, not that they were over the hill, but, like, it's kind of, I guess, a little bit like the LeBron thing where it's like, okay, like, Ovi's still just pounding that drum. Like, okay, like, go off.
Sabres did not make the playoffs.
13 straight years. There are teenagers who have never seen the Sabres in the playoffs.
Just fire their coach.
Yeah, Granato's gone. I don't know. I don't know what to make of that. They got talent on that team, man, but I don't know.
It's,
I don't know what the problem is up there.
Yeah, that's bad. 13 straight years.
Toronto.
Yeah, they got the Toronto curse. It's just the
Toronto seeping southwest.
Toronto going to get it done this year?
No.
They're a wild card, aren't they?
Yes. Oh, no, wait, whoa, whoa.
Well, if you said Florida's playing Tampa Bay, they must have got a wild card. Because Boston won the division, right?
No, Florida won the division.
So Tampa Bay's a wild card?
Yeah. Yeah.
We got service. And Rangers, who are they playing?
For my tablet, we do
have. Are they playing Washington first round?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's bang, bang, Boston, Toronto. I don't know if that's the exact Boston, Toronto.
You said Pittsburgh didn't make it.
It didn't make it. Philly missed out as well.
Islanders missed too. New Jersey missed.
Devils made. No, wait. Now I'm talking myself into a circle.
I just need one more thing, one more screen to load. I got it.
You're scaring me here. Now we're talking ourselves into a circle on air.
One more screen to load. I got the standings loading. It's loading. Yeah. Still loading.
So Florida won the Atlantic, and then Boston and Toronto. Tampa Bay made it as the wild card, and Rangers. Hurricanes, Islanders, Capitals out of the Metro. So.
Islanders made it. They're the three. And they play the Hurricanes.
Yep.
And then Rangers play the Caps.
Yep.
And you play the Panthers.
Yep.
And
Boston plays Toronto.
And Pittsburgh missed the playoffs.
How about it? Love to see it.
Wild card, Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto-Boston's interesting first round matchup.
Dallas will have Nashville. Winnipeg has Colorado. Vancouver has L.A. Edmonton has Vegas, as long as that stuff sticks, even though Edmonton plays tonight. A couple of those other teams play tomorrow and back-to-backs Edmonton. And stuff like that. So
Edmonton-Vegas be hell
of a problem. Yeah, that'll be an interesting one.
But when do the playoffs start? Next week?
Sunday, I think, or something.
Sunday.
Yeah. But, yeah. I don't know. The Hurricanes are an interesting team. I keep, like, they're one of the teams where, like, I feel like we've been expecting them to make that next step now the past couple seasons. And they just, health or they get caught on the wrong side of, like I mentioned, team getting hot. Maybe they could make some sort of run, but, like, they face the winner of more or less probably guess Rangers Washington. No, yes. So,
I like the NHL playoff format too.
Yeah, I mean, I liked how they kind of reseed and everything, and kind of go about it that way. Oh man, I mean, I was high on Winnipeg a little bit this year too, but they end up more or less just losing out to Dallas for that top seed in the Central. Well, in the West, Dallas then will go Vancouver. So I don't know. It's gonna be pretty interesting out West because a lot of toss up teams. Last hurrah of the Coyotes tonight in Arizona too.
They're leaving finally.
Well, I said this today, and I'm going to put it on here so that way we can have this stay in the brains forever. If hockey even had a sliver more popularity than it does in America, we would probably be talking about them the way we talk about John Fisher and the A's. Because what's been going on there is wild to me. No players, and a lot of people in the organization don't want to move to Salt Lake City and go to Utah. I get it's a town that will be able to support a hockey team. Nothing against Salt Lake City in that scenario. But this is a team that a week and a half ago now just had renderings released of a new stadium in Phoenix, a new venue in Phoenix. And at the same time, their owner sold the team to the league so they could put them and sell them to Salt Lake City. Like I said, if it was a little bit more popular, we would probably be talking about them the way we talk about John Fisher with the A's.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm not saying Arizona is some great hockey bastion, but the people out there who are fans are passionate as hell. When they were good, they were supported pretty well. I know it's been very few and far between since they moved out to Arizona, but, you know, it's going to suck because that has become – it's interesting watching these warmer markets become hockey markets. I mean, for, I guess, people retiring, obviously, and moving down to places. I mean, look what it's done for Tampa Bay and Florida for their franchises. I mean, they're two of the most successful – franchises right now going because of the amount of people who moved down there, right? Brought their families down there who they may not have been fans of the Panthers or the Lightning, right? They may have been fans of the Rangers or the Islanders or the Bruins, right? But now the next generation, the younger ones that moved down with them are your Lightning, are your Panther fans. They won't obviously have that in Arizona anymore. But so it's pretty interesting to me that they have this budding Division I hockey program with Arizona State, and they're going to be separating away from that and going to Utah, where, again, I know there's going to be some support there, and there's going to be good support there. But anytime I think of Utah, I don't even think of basketball. I think of football. And I think it's just because of just the consistency of having good programs for the most part out of Utah, out of BYU, Utah State to the Group of Five standard anyway. You know, the Jazz are the biggest bridesmaids probably ever in my mind. And not a knock, but like, in my mind, your most successful basketballs come on the collegiate court with BYU, more or less. So I...
Shout out Noah Waterman.
Is he going to be in the portal?
I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Different podcast for a different time. Either way, I'm just kind of rambling at this point because I just skip. I get,
so they're going to Salt Lake next year?
I get it's the way it sounds. It's not official yet, but yeah. I just get kind of pissed off because, like, and I'm not even so much a person of where it's like, no, you can't move your team. You're locked into where you are forever. Like, I don't view it as that. Like, if it's just not working, it's just not working. Like, you should be able to move if it's just – if you've exhausted all effort, right? I just think a couple of these spots, you'd be better off for an expansion team if you're going to do it. Hockey is a great example of it, right, with Vegas. Like, they didn't relocate a team. They didn't become a transient franchise. They took what was going to be an expansion team, put them there, right? Gave them the key, literally the keys to do it. And I don't, like, Vegas isn't a hockey town the way like Toronto is a hockey town, right? But Vegas is a hockey town. Like it is their number one sports team. Like the locals love the Golden Knights, mm-hmm. right?
That was their first one,
right?
That was their first baby,
and in their mind, it's the only one. Like it's not a knock. Like there are Raiders fans in Vegas. Like I'm not dumb. Like the Raiders are a national brand at the end of the day. Still, my dad's a Raider fan, living in Central New York, right? Like, but like. Especially in a town like Vegas, you might be more inclined to go see the Giants out there because you like going to Vegas anyway. And like, I can go see my favorite football team play there. Mm-hmm. You'd be about that, right?
Yep.
Right? Like, you see what I mean? Like, where it's like, it's just not going to work out. And it's just, I don't want to make it sound like I don't think it will work out in Salt Lake City. I just think the sticker value of it will vastly shrink very quickly if it's just a team relocating.
You don't like skiing and go see your favorite team?
Dude, I almost broke my neck ice skating. Like I ain't about
like,
to.
You don't like bars closing before midnight?
9 p.m. And I get it, like each your own, but like, god damn, dude.
Well, you can watch your favorite team and miss the bars.
Like, the wild part is, like, I wouldn't mind going to, in fact, it's one of those things, it's funny I bring up Vegas, because, like, we've talked about, like, going out to Vegas before, right? And, like, how, like, I'd fly out with you guys, but, like, I want to drive back, because I want to drive through, like, the Rockies and shit. And, like, I'd be going through Utah part of it, and I'd look forward to it, because, like, there's a lot of cool-looking shit in Utah, if I'm being honest with you. Like, but, like, I don't think I can live in Utah.
What about Billings, Montana? When are they getting a team?
I would rather live in Billings, Montana than in Utah. I'm just going to be honest with you. We'll call it like it is. Actually, I have a really interesting connection to Billings.
Really?
Yep. My grandpa was stationed there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Actually, I do have a connection to Salt Lake City, too, oddly through that. My grandpa and grandma, my dad's parents, were married in Salt Lake City because he was stationed there during World War II.
Nice.
He was also stationed in Billings at one time.
What about Boise, Idaho?
Well, I just want to go to Boise so I can see the blue turf in person. But like, I'd rather live.
What about the black turf?
I would rather live in Boise, Idaho, than Salt Lake City.
What about
Utah?
The black turf at Morrisville State?
Boise State was good enough for me. Thanks.
You see, they got a new turf there. It's all black.
Yes, I'm aware. Yeah. Very much so aware.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I had a phone call about that. I'm like, teach your own.
Yep.
But yeah. Okay.
All right, now let's talk about Major League Soccer. What's going on?
Oh, we're about done. We're about out of our window. As I mentioned, we both got different stuff going on this weekend. You're heading off to Pittsburgh. We kind of touched on that anyway, but will you be trying the I forget the technical name of it, but the pierogi barbecue hot dog.
Yeah. I will try to find it.
There you go.
I don't know where they're selling it. I'll look it up and find where it is.
But you want it.
I want it.
You want it?
I'll try it.
I respect the hell out of that.
Like a boomstick. That's the only reason I want to go to Rangers game. Texas Rangers.
So I messed up. I messed up a couple years ago. I haven't been. It's weird because the amount of baseball I do end up going to every year. I didn't end up going to a major league game last year. It was all minor league games for me last year.
How are the Red Wings looking?
Well, they got rained suspended today. 500, I think, right now.
They've had like.
They have a lot of good. This is usually something I do on Concrete Jungle, but like if you can get to Rochester this year, I recommend doing it.
It's a good city.
One, Dylan Cruz is in AA, so he will probably be up at Rochester at some point this year. But we talked about him, I think, during our baseball preview episode for a moment. But like, if you know who James Wood is, like, go to Rochester because like that dude's gonna be really good at the MLB.
All right, back to your story about how you only went to minor league games?
Well, like, I wanted it, like, anyway, I only went to minor league games last year, and a couple years ago, my last major league game was, I did go to Pittsburgh after Cleveland, but I didn't get that slider dog at Cleveland either. I pissed myself off by doing not getting it, so.
Mm. You get your dome dog, though.
I will be getting a dome dog, hopefully, this Saturday. I don't, it's going to be weird. I've never been to the spring game. First one I'm going to, but
I'm assuming indoors. At the dome?
Yes, correct. No, they're playing out on the quad. yeah, at the dome. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It sounds like the first half is actually going to be like football, which you usually don't get, but Fran Brown's bringing that SEC style to the dome for this, so I'm looking forward to that. They're doing a quad walk, which is going to be interesting. I don't know if I'll be there for that, but yeah, this will be the last time inside the dome until the fall. And
like selling beverages and stuff?
I mean, I'm assuming.
It's like a game?
I'm assuming. I don't know if I'll like drink anything besides like water, admittedly.
No, I'm just curious, but
I mean, I'm intrigued to see what they kind of got available.
Like a shop's going to be open?
That's what I'm getting at.
By merchandise?
Well, I'm kind of wondering because like, I know a lot of schools do for their spring game, kind of like they'll do like an equipment sale of sort where it's like game-issued stuff's available or team-issued stuff's available. So we'll see. I mean, it's tough because the dome, right, is under renovation still and stuff like that. And this is like the last big event before a lot of stuff takes over. Like Bruce Springsteen's in there tomorrow night. Thursday night.
He's there?
He's performing at the Dome tomorrow night.
Really?
And then you have the lacrosse game Thursday or Saturday afternoon before the football game at, like, I think it's the lacrosse game's at 2, I think. They're retiring Paul Gates' number, I know that.
When's the game?
7.
Oh, it's a night game.
Yeah, 7 or 7:30, something like that. But it's weird. I've never been excited about football in the spring like this before. For either one of my teams, really.
You're not a UFL fan?
Not in that. Not what I mean. Go Brahmas. But either way. Yeah. Let's get out of here on that note. Nick, who are you shouting out today?
Should shout him out last week, but it was my birthday weekend. shout out Justin Kiefer. Capitals fan. Made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Also won our fantasy hockey league this year. So shout out Justin. Finally got it done. Used to call him the top fantasy hockey owner of all time. He said on my fantasy podcast back in the day.
Just a solid player. Solid athlete.
Yeah, so maybe it's the year Justin. He says, I asked him that yesterday, he says the year of Ovi.
Okay.
Very humble guy.
We'll see about the year of Ovi then. So we'll be back again next Wednesday, right? Yeah, so.
Any eclipse this week?
No eclipse. We'll be able to talk about some NFL draft stuff though next week, which will be nice. And any other things, I guess, that really pop up. We're at a weird time. Like, we could definitely do a lot more on baseball if we really wanted to. But even then, it's been a quiet overall couple of days on that front. So maybe NASCAR will give us something cool at Talladega. Who knows? So.
Oh, that's one thing I wanted to say on this podcast. Also, on my birthday, my favorite NASCAR driver, Chase Elliott, got the win.
Thought you were a William Byron fan.
Nah, Chase Elliott.
Apologies.
Got the win. So, yeah, birthday magic's real.
Broke the streak. How about? Good for Chase. So we'll get out here on that note. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. Like, share, subscribe, all the fun stuff. You know, help us help you, help us help you, as I call it. So on that note, enjoy the weekend, everybody. We'll talk to everybody next week. There you go, Nick. Wave to the people. There you go. Talk to everybody next week.